Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, can we give the Lord a big clap offering right now? Come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we love you today, Jesus. Amen. Well, you could remain standing. I know you've been standing. Worship has been fantastic. We're going to open up God's Word. And I truly believe that if, regardless of what party the president walked in, it would be a custom to stand. And when we open up God's Word, we're standing for the King. And that's why I love standing when it comes to the Word of God. I want to take this time to welcome all our campuses, and I want to take this time to welcome our online campus that's watching, and really honor your pastors. You know, you know Pastor Dave is a great communicator. Pastor Nicole is a great innovator. Her innovation is out of this world. We kind of know who really runs the church, right? But Dave and I go back way before Faith Church was even established. And we traveled together, served on ministries, and to see what this has come to. I remember many, many years ago when you were in the little campus way over there, he drove me by. He says, man, I'm looking at this big old building. And it was this building. And he says, one day God's going to give it to us. He's always been a faith person. Speak to those things that be not as though they already are. And so come on, can we honor your pastors right now? We love them so much. They're family to us. Well, I promise you today I won't be long, but I will be strong. Open up your Bibles if you can to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, as we remain standing in the reading of God's Word, it's a story majority of us have heard many times, but I believe I'm going to bring out some truths today that I really believe can give us answers to what our nation is in need of today. This is more than just a message to this church. This is a prophetic message to the believers of God that we have a duty and an obligation to stand in the gap. We are living in the greatest times. It's not the worst times. The world wants to say the world is getting worse. Let the world get worse, because as darker the world gets, the brighter the church gets. And so we're excited about this time. In Luke chapter 8, it says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitudes welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house, for he had only a daughter about 12 years of age. She was dying, but as he went, the multitudes thronged him. And now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians, could not be healed by any, and came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she could not hide, she came trembling. Falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Don't you love when Jesus speaks up for you? When the devil is speaking, Jesus will speak up for you. Do not be afraid, only believe. And she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one except Peter, James, and John, and her father and mother and girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. I want to speak to you today over the next 25 minutes, a message I've entitled, Your Condition is Not Your Conclusion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the spirit of revelation and give our minds illumination that we would experience transformation. God, I pray you give us a mind to perceive and a heart to receive all that you have. And I ask that after this message, we will never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, and all the people that are here and watching, say amen and amen. Hey, before you see it, give someone a high five and say, you wish you looked as good as me. You wish you looked as good as me. It's interesting that we see Jesus being interrupted by a man who in some degree in those days would almost be an enemy of his. He was a ruler of the synagogue. This was the place in which the Pharisees and Sadducees came together and they would orate the letters of the law. And yet these were the same that would come together and conspire an attack and manipulate his words towards his death. And yet the Bible gives this account that the ruler of the synagogue, the one that was probably the chief initiator and the instigator of it all, when a crisis came, he could not run to those who were scholarly in the Torah. He had to run to the one who would get results. And he goes to Jesus and the Bible says he begs. It's interesting because when you're people of faith, you don't have to beg. Come on, you just receive. And so he begs and Jesus decides, I'm gonna go to your house. And so Jesus was on his way towards a home that represented the next generation. And that next generation was dying at the age of 12. But as Jesus was headed towards the next generation, he was stopped by a woman who represents the now generation. But she had been bleeding for 12 years. And so you see Jesus going in a direction towards the next generation who was dying at 12 years of age, but he is stopped by the now generation who had been bleeding for 12 years. Now the Bible can be broken down into signs, symbols, shadows, and including numbers. Numbers play a significance in scripture. So it's not by accident nor coincidence that Jesus finds himself standing between the next generation who's dying at 12 and the now generation who's bleeding for 12 years. You see, the number 12 in biblical numerology means order. It means government. It means authority. You remember Jacob had 12 sons that represented the government of Israel, the authority of Israel. Jesus chose 12 disciples representing completion, authority, government, taking territory. And so this moment in which Jesus is standing, you would think that if she was 12, she would be in order, complete, lacking nothing. And then being touched by a woman who's bleeding for 12 years would be complete, lacking nothing, whole. But something was wrong. Her body, bleeding for 12 years, was out of order. Therefore, she didn't have no authority. She's dying at 12 years of age. Her body's out of order and has no authority. I know that today America is standing at a pivotal point, and we are seeing the next generation being attacked like never before. We saw something tragic happen this week, not to the now generation, but to the next generation. Can I prophetically speak to you, Weldon and Ferguson, and those of you online? Can I prophetically tell you that I believe prophetically the church like Jesus is standing between the now generation that's bleeding and the next generation that's dying? And can I come to you, church, that I didn't come to you this morning just to preach, but I came to church to give you some clarity to where is there's confusion at. Can I tell you that God is always on his way to the next generation? God's direction is always to the next generation. When God had Moses, he had a Joshua. When God had Elijah, he had an Elisha. When God had David, come on somebody, he had Jeth, he had all these people, right? And at the end of the day, he's always headed towards the next generation. But I believe that the reason why the next generation is dying is because the now generation is bleeding. I'm gonna preach this morning. I'm gonna get in your Kool-Aid this morning, okay? You see, we want God to touch the next generation. We want God to heal the next generation. And we're always pointing the direction towards the next. We're complaining about our kids, complaining about our grandchildren, when in all reality, the reason why they're dying is because the now generation is bleeding. We got issues. We got situations. We got things in our lives that we haven't dealt with, and they're dealing with us now. And what I really believe God's trying to paint the picture to the church is the fact that we better wake up for such a time as this, because if we want to see the next generation rise to the potential that they can rise to, then the now generation got to get back to the heart of God and get back to the place in which we are healed in Jesus' name. Boy, I feel the power of God already. Now the reality is that the now generation has become comfortable. We come to church when we feel like coming to church. We read our Bible when we feel like reading our Bible. But we've lost the fact that church has just become this thing that I do on Sunday and I'm just gonna check it off. And we lost the passion to come to church knowing that this is the only place that can heal my entire family at the same time. This is the only place that I can find refuge under God himself. This is the only place that my child can grow and I can grow at the same time. And we've lost our passion coming to God because at the end of the day, we become used to the fact that we're bleeding. We have issues. We have couples that are on the verge of divorce. We have anxiety and stress overcoming us. We're equipped with everything, but we've just settled. And then we look at our house and we look at what's next and we're complaining about what's next because we don't want to deal with what's going on now. And so this woman, the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't reach his shoulders, but she touched his hem. You see, that lets us know that she had some Judaic teachings and understanding of where to actually touch. Because in those days, a high priest would wear a blue robe, and attached to the blue robe were bells and pomegranates. Now, a pomegranate is clothed in the color scarlet that represents the blood. There's a crown on top of a pomegranate that represents kingship and authority. And then within the pomegranate is seeds. Matter of fact, they say that when a pomegranate comes into the fullness of what it is, in the fullness at its peak of its harvest, it actually had 613 seeds inside of there, actually representing the 613 laws of God. And yet the priest would also wear bells that would represent worship. It would represent the fact that there's a constant sound as they're walking because they're constantly walking in the presence of worship. And they had it in the order where they had worship, then they had the word. 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 And so what you got to realize is that this lady just didn't touch the hem of his garment. The lady touched the word. She touched worship. And when you touch the word and you touch worship, come on, something. Nothing has to change in Jesus' name. Now, I said, can I go deeper? And so Jesus didn't wear a robe with pomegranates and bells. He didn't have to wear a robe that represented worship and represented the word. Because at the end of the day, he is the word. And he was the one that would be worshiped. And so she touched the word. She touched the one that she worshiped. But it even goes further than that. You see, the high priest would wear these pomegranates and bells because the pomegranate was the first fruit that the spies of Israel came back to show Moses how fruitful Canaan really was. And so they would wear the pomegranates and the bells, representing the fact that they are wearing their promise. They are wearing their territory that they're about to possess. And can I tell you, when that garment was laid down, because there would be a new sheriff in town and his name is Jesus, he would not wear the pomegranate nor the bell because he is the word and he is the promised one. He is the one that would be worshiped. Can I let you know that he wore a robe that no man can? But it didn't end there, because the Bible says that you are a royal priesthood and Jesus put a robe of righteousness over you. And so every day you get to put on your robe of righteousness that represents, I'm taking territory, I'm taking land, I'm taking where God's supposed to go. Everywhere I put my feet on shall be mine in Jesus' name. Oh! This is why some of you, when you wake up in the morning and you don't read your word and you don't put on worship, you walk out like you're naked. You walk out like as if you're gonna, something's gonna happen, and all of a sudden the spirit of worry comes on you and anxiety. But I promise you, if you wake up in the morning and you put on that robe of righteousness, you will walk out with an authority that the devil knows someone's coming, that God's power, that God's dominion, and that is walking in faith in Jesus' name. So here's Jesus, and he's headed towards next. And all of a sudden, he gets touched. But she touches him at the hem, which means that she couldn't touch him standing up. She had to touch him from a posture that represented humility. That understands that before I can walk, I gotta first learn to crawl. And then the greater our lives will look will be determined how dirty our knees are. And she would be in a posture of kneeling, and she touched him. She touched him by going low so that he would touch her by coming up. Your next generation is never gonna come up until this generation chooses to go low. You're not going low because you have to. You're going low because you got a revelation that if I can touch the word in worship by going low, then it gives the ability for the next generation to soar to heights that no eyes have seen and no ear has heard, that which what God has in store for the people. The Bible says that she just didn't touch. It gives us the description that she pressed her way through. I don't believe she was polite. I believe she was desperate. The church has been polite too long. We've allowed the world to tell us what we can and cannot do. When we're a kingdom that will last forever, We've allowed outside politics to tell us who we should be, when at the end of the day, we're not even of this world because we're of another world. And can I tell you something? We got to stop being polite. We got to get the spirit of boldness and get the spirit of a lion, because we forget not only he is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we got to get our roar back in Jesus' name. And so she bows and touches him. And Jesus stops. Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is always moving. He's always moving. But she taught us how to get Jesus to stop. At the end of the day, Weldon and Ferguson and those online were always going, Jesus, move in my family. And Jesus says, no, I don't want to move in your family. I want to stop in your family. God, move in my relationship. I don't want to move in your relationship. I want to stop. God, I want you to move in my business. And God say, no, I want to stop in your business. Because anytime I stop, nothing can stay the same. And we've been praying it for years in the church. Holy Spirit of God, move in our church. And Jesus is saying he doesn't want to move. He wants to stop. Because if God stops, then everything around it got to change. Yes, sir. And the reason why we have not seen the church be the change that it should be is because we want God to move instead of stop. If we get God to stop by us pressing and touching. So the Bible says, watch this. The Bible says that the now generation touched his hem. But it says about the next generation that Jesus touched the next generation. Which meant that if we want God to touch whatever is next for our life, it will require us first to touch him. Because once I touch him, then he touches what's next. And some of you are trying to get God to touch what's next for your life. But the reason why he hasn't touched it is because you haven't touched him. If I can touch him, he will touch what's next. And so the Bible says that she touched his hem and he stopped. He looks around and says, who touched me? They said, Lord, everyone's touching you. He goes, oh, no, I understand that, because they're touching my shoulders, touching my head, touching my side. But there's only one that touched me. See, just coming to church and touching Jesus ain't good enough. You got to know where to touch him. You got to lean into the word. You got to lean into worship. Well, Pastor Obed, that's not my music. Worship ain't about music. Worship is about your posture. It's about your lifestyle. It's who you are. Well, you know, Pastor Obed, I'm not comfortable lifting my hands. Well, baby, you better get comfortable, because you're going to do it in heaven. All churches is just a dress rehearsal. It's all it is. Well, Obed, Pastor Obed, I don't feel like jumping. Well, I guess at the end of the day, you're going to be the party pooper when we get to heaven. You see, some of us are too dignified to magnify. And we almost put worship within the box of it being more personality than spirituality. Jesus said, "You will, those who worship me in spirit and in truth." He never refers to the fact that you worship him according to your personality. And so what happened, she touched him. Jesus said, "I felt power leave me." And her bleeding stopped. And as soon as her bleeding stopped, the now generation was whole, which now gave him the permission to go and raise up the next generation. I believe that America is at a point that if we want God to stop in this nation and stop in this church and raise up the next generation that will look completely different than the now generation, it's dependent on the now generation's touch. Because when this is healed, this is unstoppable. Are you hearing me? And so as I close, the Bible gives an account of what it looks like when two generations worship together. And this is the greatest fear of the adversary. You see, there's a story in Acts chapter 16 with Paul and Silas while they were in prison. And the Bible says that Paul represents the now generation. Silas, his disciple, represents the next generation. In the Roman prison, what they would do differently than the prisons that we have today is that they would shackle the feet of the prisoners to the ground or the wall. But then they would chain each other's hands together. And so the Bible says that Paul and Silas began to worship and sing the hymns. Now, the word hymnal in the Greek refers back to the word. Because we all remember the hymns. The hymns were just scriptures with melody. And so what happened was that they were singing the word. And an atmosphere shifted. They were the only ones righteous in that prison. Everyone else was there because they did a crime and sinned, but they were righteous. And the Bible says it was at the midnight hour. Now, there's something significant about the midnight hour. Because the midnight hour is the only time of a 24-hour cycle that stands between a.m. and p.m. It is the only time which stands between what was and what could be. Come on. It's the only time in which it stands at 11:59, representing weeping may endureth in the night, but 12:01, that joy cometh in the morning. So there was something significant about this midnight time. But what was more significant was that you had the now and the next joined together, locked armed in arm. But notice that others that were connected didn't sing. They weren't in faith. They didn't have the word. They didn't have worship. But the Bible says that as they began to sing, meaning the now and the next, Paul and Silas, that every chain was broken off in the prison and all were set free. Pastor Obed, what are you saying? I'm saying that the devil knows that when you and your family begin to worship together, there's gonna be a revival. There's gonna be a Holy Ghost shaking. That the power of God is going to arrest your homes. And we're going to see, we're going to see salvation in our households. Come on, stand to your feet. This is why The devil, mama wants you bleeding. Daddy wants you bleeding. Because he wants the next generation dying. Because he knows. Like you had all those young people. I leaned over. I said, is it Youth Sunday? Because a bunch of young people up here. She goes, oh, no, this is our worship team. I said, oh, you guys are in store for something. Because when you can get the now generation and the next generation working together, it will break the chains off of generational curses and generational influences in our city and in our nation. Come on, with hands stretched, will you sit there and say, Jesus? Will you say, Jesus? I'm gonna press towards you. I believe today that my condition is not my conclusion. I'm a worshiper, and my life will be forever changed in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen and amen. Let's welcome the campus pastors. God bless you.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.